Well, Alan Butkovitz, welcome to Newsworks Tonight. You've been on the job since 2006. You've served three terms. What have you done? Why should voters want you back?
Well, we've turned this controller's office into the lead local government anti-corruption unit. We formed the basic evidence for the federal case against Sheriff John Green, against several charter schools. And we've also taken a deep dive into misspending at the Mayor's Fund for Philadelphia. We have torn the covers off of hard to discern the ugly side of city government, the fact that L&I wasn't really making the corrections that had been said and that people's lives were at stake. And we've got a very viable, very energetic think tank going, working with universities and hospitals in terms of turning the Philadelphia area into an area that grows specific kinds of jobs because of the demand, of the $5 billion a year demand of these institutions.
Take one of these examples of rooting out corruption, misuse, and give us a little detail.
Well, the sheriff, you know, the sheriff's department has had a reputation for many years of being inefficient, and we've done audits of them at different times. And in 2010, they were being particularly intransigent. We battled with the sheriff's office for about a year, trying to get them to give us complete information, give us access. They had an attitude that we don't have to show you anything, that the controller really doesn't have any teeth. It's a courtesy if we let you see any of our documents. At the end of 10 months, we felt we had enough evidence to push for a forensic audit. It's one of those areas where Mayor Nutter and I worked very closely and quickly to get a $650,000 appropriation from council so that we could hire the former federal prosecutor who had put several mafia gangsters away. And he did a document-by-document search. Things were not held in file cabinets. They were in huge boxes. And at a point where we thought we had almost run out of evidence, all the things we thought it wasn't, we had almost run out of ammunition, and he found a document that was a contract that showed double payment for certain services by the outside contractor. And that led to sterner interviews of some of the witnesses and admissions by witnesses, and finally the construction of an over 200-page report outlining about 20 different schemes by which homeowners and citizens were cheated out of tens of millions of dollars. Ultimately, the sheriff's office had to put up about $20 million in escrow so it could be repaid to people who lost money in their homes. And they had to change the attitude that this was nobody's money, therefore they could do anything with it. The federal government took our report. They took 5 years, almost to the statute of limitations, indicted former Sheriff John Green for bribery. They indicted Jim Davis 6 months before that for tax evasion.
Somebody was on his staff, one of his contractors, right?
He was the outside contractor who had the run of the sheriff's office.
Is the sheriff's office better off today?
Yeah, I think the sheriff's office is better off today. It's not completely efficient, but I would say that the ethos of you got to be honest and that you can't take people's money and that this is not your property, I would say Jewel Williams is trying very hard to stay on the right side of the law.
Current sheriff, yeah. Your opponent has talked about the Philadelphia Parking Authority, which is not technically a city agency. It is a creation of the state. Its board is appointed by the state, but it does a city function. And it's been criticized recently for excessive management perks and a lax attitude towards sexual harassment. Your opponent says you ought to be auditing that agency. Is she right?
Well, the issue is that the Auditor General and Attorney General are in the midst of 6 or 7 months into an audit right now. So my opponent has just got the chronology wrong. Let's see what this massive investment of the Attorney General and the Auditor General turns up and then see if there are issues that have been unexplored. All of these agencies need to be there are two classes of departments. There's the regular 40 departments that we look at every year, and then there are other agencies that we were given power over in the 2003 Charter Amendments, which include the Parking Authority, but they also include things like the Philadelphia Industrial Development Corporation, which has never been audited and which is on our list to look at next. And as you see in the Fund for Philadelphia, we try to put our priority on things that have not been examined and on things where prior evidence suggests that there would be findings. And in the case of the Parking Authority, my opponent was the budget director in 2010 when the city renewed the on-street parking contract with them. And at the time, Mayor Nutter had raised an issue that the overhead was too high at the Parking Authority and that they should be turning over more money to the city. And if my opponent believed that sincerely, when she had the power in her hands, why didn't she simply take back the on-street parking contract?
So you may be auditing the parking authority again. You want to see what these state auditors find.
Yeah, I'm sure we will be looking at the parking authority in the future. The question is in what order and what audit do we have to give up in order to do the next audit that people seem to think we ought to do?
A consistent criticism of your opponents has been that you are a Democratic machine politician. You're a Democratic ward leader and that you're in with the in crowd. One thing that was brought up years ago was that you had established an Office of Community Affairs in the Comptroller's Office, taxpayer-funded, at which your campaign treasurer was employed and other people who were Democratic committee people. And this was seen as a way of making political connections at taxpayers' expense.
Well, there's so many questions in that question. You're going to have to forgive me for taking some time. First of all, I'm one of the reform ward leaders. I mean, a couple of years ago, there was a problem with Manny Morales, who ran for council and ran racist and misogynist posts. I was the one that pushed him off the ticket. I was the guy that pushed Jared Solomon, who's a very young, bright guy, got him elected over a 42-year incumbent. So there's always a lot of distress about what might be the set ways of the Democratic organization. So how are you going to get change if you don't have ward leaders who are reform-minded and are open to bringing new blood and young people into the office? With respect to community affairs, we have an organic system. Why is it that we have the best reputation in the city of knowing where the pulse of the people are? Because we have a big ear. The way to tell whether there is a system-wide problem in trash collection or in potholes or anything is we need the assistance and the input of people. And during the past decade, there was actually an attitude in City Hall that we should be antiseptic and untouched by human hands. Please don't call us. Call 311. Stay on the line for 5 minutes. Listen to a commuter ad. That has never worked in my experience. I think even if it's the 21st century, you're better off with people who know how to solve problems, talking to the people who are experiencing the problems.
But on that question, why not civil service employees there rather than folks with who might be?
Because there was no civil service classification for that. Just like we've set up this vibrant think tank, if it's going to be a civil service classification, it has to fall into a category that already exists and has been assigned to our office.
What about the criticism that we don't want a ward leader in an auditing function, that you need to be an independent, squeaky clean, divorced from politics?
If it was possible to do that, that's a great idea. But, you know, the genius of James Madison, and I just read this about 2 weeks ago. I don't know who the author was, but they said the genius was that he didn't trust in the virtue of man. He trusted in the balance of powers. He trusted in the fact that you would have a robust competition among people who were advancing their self-interest, and as long as you kept the big thumb of tyranny off the scale, things would work out well. That's why this system, which has existed for over 300 years, is the best in the world. When you have people who self-define as saints and therefore they need not be reviewed, that's the road to tyranny and to corruption. And I'll say Philadelphia has an unfortunate history of lauding one new messiah after the other, and they generally fall apart. Seth Williams was lauded not long ago as super clean and the messiah. Well, the truth is, once he was dug in too deeply, they found the problems. It's a human foible. The phrases power corrupts, absolute power corrupts, absolutely. That's why you need a balance of power. That's why the controller was created to be a powerful counterforce to the mayor. Mayor Nutter was a ward leader. Everybody thought that was okay. I could never get past the idea that he was the only ward leader to be a mayor since James H.J. Tate.
In the 60s.
Right. So obviously the point there was that he needed that position so he could fight off the other ward leaders and he could have a chance of getting his agenda adopted. How's it different with me? I have withstood pressure from Senator Fumo, who literally tried to enact legislation to abolish my position because he was angry at the fact that I was digging into the school district. I have been sued over and over again by people of whom we found significant wrongdoing. I have been bullied, threatened with non-support for re-election repeatedly, and I have survived because the people of Philadelphia think that we're doing a good job doing what they want.
So you're having political power gives you independence?
Yes.
Your opponent says you engage in gotcha reports, wanting to publicize stuff that's wrong rather than working constructively to change things, which she says she's better positioned to do because she has experience as a senior manager in city government. What about that?
That's flat out wrong. First of all, she had fiduciary duty as a budget director and treasurer also. And she fell down on the job when she noted during the papal visit last September that the city should have split the cost with the World Meeting of Families, and said she would not approve the additional $8 million expenditure. She folded like a cheap Kmart table as soon as she was ordered by the chief of staff to do that. Now, in the British tradition, I mean, that's not what you do. You hold a press conference, you tell the public this is wrong, you simply refuse to put your signature on it, and if necessary, you resign. There was a great tradition in the British system of people resigning as a matter of principle. You don't fold on the basis that I'm following orders. Unfortunately, that's a tradition of a very different kind of regime than we have in this country.
You generated a lot of controversy with your review of the Mayor's Fund for Philadelphia, this nonprofit that was entitled to spend funds generated by city activities such as the marathon. You, a couple of directors, you said, had not accounted for their spending, may have misspending. As a result of that, Mayor Nutter referred to you, what did he call you? A liar, a snake, and a hypocrite.
Yes.
Is that a badge of honor?
You remember in The Sting that Paul Newman says something to Robert Redford. Redford says they threatened to kill me. And Paul Newman says, if they haven't threatened to kill you, kid, you know you're not getting to them. And I think that's the best way to respond to that. I have no idea, because he didn't define what he meant by those terms, as to what he was contending was hypocritical or what was a lie or what was snake-like. But I do gather that he was very insulted and angry about the whole process. You need a temperament as the controller to be able to tell truth to power, to be able to stand up to people, just as you do as a journalist. Look at those the reporters in the White House who are being told that they can't come to the press conferences now or tried to be made to feel small because they're doing what their job is. That, unfortunately, that's the nature of the job. Most people would like to just go to work, get through the day, go along and get along. If you're in the government, you have an additional responsibility. You have to represent people, which means sometimes you have to fight for them. When you're in a watchdog role like the controller, that's a responsibility you have just about every day. And of course, we do try in many, many dozens of cases to work because how are we going to get cooperation if we don't persuade the departments that we're right? So by definition, the times that we do that are invisible to the naked eye. The times that these issues become public is where there is intransigence, where there is stubbornness, and where there's clear wrongdoing. So what would we do in the Sheriff John Green case? I mean, how many times did he say mea culpa and people came back and say he's going to do better until in order to protect the public interest, we had to blow the whistle on it and bring it to the attention of authorities?
A lot of citizens believe that city government is wasteful and indifferent, that there are too many people, that productivity is low. You hung some hidden cameras in the city mailroom for a couple of months a while back and discovered people abusing overtime,
yes.
About $9,300 worth. And when you read that story, you think, I think two things. One, gosh, that shouldn't be happening. I think a couple of people resigned over it. On the other hand, it's $9,300 in a budget of $4.3 billion. How bad is the waste in government?
Well, take that incident. The $9,300 is what was able to be proven during the observation period. Nobody thinks it was only $9,300. But the important point was how badly it impaired citizens' rights. People were regularly getting notices to be in traffic court or in court, and they were getting fined. And people would come to court and say, Judge, I never got it in the mail. And the judge would laugh at them. Sure you didn't. It turned out they didn't get them in the mail. We found...
Because this mailroom was supposed to be sending out stuff that was just sitting
right.
in boxes.
We found months and months of stuff that was stuffed behind cabinets and so on that was never sent to people. I consider that the most important finding of that audit. The second finding is that the reason we were able to succeed in that audit is that there were people in that office whose conscience bothered them, who were in fact being bullied into going along with a corrupt system. And they couldn't stand up and resign, but they found a way to get information to authorities so that the misconduct and the miscreants could be weeded out. And that's important because just like in any schoolyard, you got to break the bully's nose. And at Philadelphia, there's no question that there is a deep-seated culture of corruption that needs to be broken and exposed. And if you shrug your shoulders and you say, well, this is only a small amount, and this is only a small item, but, you know, actually, that's the way people begin to commit crimes. They commit small crimes. That's the way they begin to commit fraud. That's what we learn at our seminars. People borrow money from petty cash, and then they get bolder over time. So we need to make it clear that that's unacceptable. And most of all, the people know what kind of service they're getting. So when people knew they weren't getting notices, and now they found out that somebody at City Hall found out why, to me, that actually increases confidence in the city government.
So this is disturbing. We're talking about a civil service employees
yes.
not doing their job so the public isn't served and then ripping the taxpayers off for overtime. And who knows how common that is. You've been here for three terms. We now have an inspector general who I think you'd probably agree is pretty tough on this stuff.
Except when the mayor tells her to look the other way.
Okay. there is a city inspector. Has it gotten better? How much of a difference have you made?
Well, you know, unless you have control groups and scientifically control for this, you'd have to measure what it really was when you started and then measure truthfully what it is right now. So it's hard to tell. But I would say IRS has a rule of thumb that every April they unveil a certain number of high-profile tax fraud cases on the basis that if people see somebody prosecuted, it will remind most of the people what to be afraid of. And I'd say in a lot of city departments, and we have a pretty good idea of which ones are most guilty, there is an attitude or there is a orthodoxy that is not a kind of we got to do the virtuous thing. We've got to do it because it's the right thing. And I think we have people who are of goodwill even in those departments, and we need to reinforce them, strengthen their hand, and we have to show that there's going to be consequences for fraud. And in that case, there were consequences. People had to leave their jobs. We have referred cases to prosecutors, both high profile and low profile. And once that becomes the buzz, then you're going to get a more honest government.
Alan Butkovitz, thanks so much.
Okay, thank you.